Hello again, Chris Lee and Joy Dwyer, Vandy Sports here. Baseball podcast. The Commodores have gone 5-0 in the last week. Started with the bang in a 20-4 win, it was, I think, over Indiana State in seven innings. Ended with the bang, taking an 11-3 deficit and winning a game on Sunday against Texas by a 14-11 final. We'll talk about all that in a minute. Reminder that all of our baseball content is brought to you by the Murfreesboro Pure Milk Company, a family-owned third-generation milk and ice cream distribution company located in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The partnership began over 50 years ago with Purity Dairy in Nashville to provide Purity milk and ice cream to consumers in Middle Tennessee. Now they serve Southern Kentucky, Northern Alabama, Chattanooga, North Georgia. Today they supply grocery stores, convenience stores, and others with Purity products, as well as Mayfield, Nestle, and Häagen-Dazs ice cream. For more information, visit their website at npmci.com. Podcast also brought to you by Anchor Impact, which is Vanderbilt's collective. As you guys know, you can get closer than ever before to the athletes, gain access to unmatched exclusive coverage, be part of Vandy Athletics and its future. Meet the Commodores, view their profiles, go to anchorimpact.com, where you find some exclusive content, including some interviews we've done. Support those who are helping make success possible for Vanderbilt Athletics. Go to Anchor Impact and tell the folks you heard about it on this podcast. Podcast also brought to you by The Wash House. Are you dreading laundry day? Is it seemingly time to do the things you truly enjoy? Let the laundry professionals at The Wash House take care of your dirty laundry. Their attendants will give you back the one thing you can never have enough of. That's your time. Within 24 hours, pick up your nicely folded, fresh, clean laundry ready to be put away. Check them out at washhouseclean.com. Stop in today. Get your time back. Joey, what a week it was for Vanderbilt baseball. Five wins in five games, all in very different fashions. Vanderbilt won some games where it was leading from the jump, won a game with an eight-run deficit, where the starting pitcher got chased before he could get his 10th out, won a pitcher's duel. I mean, everything that could be thrown at Vanderbilt was, I feel like, and the Commodores came out 5-0 for the week. What did you make of that?
Yeah, you actually took my talking point there. I think my talking point was kind of they won it a bunch of different ways. You look at Tuesday, Indiana State, the offense just completely exploded. Everybody was really good. Camden Kozel was 4-for-5 that day. I think Humphrey had a really good day that day, had a good day against Evansville as well, and they got sick over the weekend. Again, you mentioned the Houston game. That was a pitcher's duel. And then Sunday, which was the opposite of it, and Vanderbilt looked to be in a real hole there. Futrell, a guy who doesn't normally get bumped that early, got bumped that early, and Vanderbilt still finds a way to come back and show a little fire and win. And now Vanderbilt's ninth in the country still, despite a 5-0 week, but feels like they're in a lot better position than they were a week ago. And a lot more reason to be confident about this group. I think just about everybody on the roster had a good week. Most of their guys are hitting above 300 right now, but Kozel's the guy I think that really stands out at this point. He's leading the team in average, one SEC freshman of the week, hit 4-for-5 on Tuesday, 4-for-5 on Sunday. So heck of a week for him, and really bookended it with two really nice performances, as did Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it's funny. Here we are 13 games in, and I know it's not going to be the SEC, but the schedule has not been awful either. They've not had a weekend where they played a team that was just completely overmatched. The weekend in Houston obviously was against competitive teams. Texas was ranked. Indiana State in the midweek, I think, was ranked in one of the polls at 24 or 25. Gonzaga, perennial team at or near the top of the West Coast Conference, which is a decent baseball league. And Florida Atlantic, which is always very competitive in the Sun Belt, which is a good league. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at a stat sheet. This team's 13-3. It has scored 112 runs, a .419 on base percentage, .526 slugging, 14 home runs. That's a little less than you'd like. Some teams, some of the teams at the top of the heap have hit about twice that many, but this team has hit what? 38 doubles. That's a ton. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to like about this offense. You've got, let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys who were pretty much regulars, if you include Bulger, who's hurt, with the 392 on base percentage or higher. I mean, that's a tough lineup to pitch to. I would kind of rather pitch to a lineup. We've got a couple of guys in the middle that are superstars, but you can pitch around the pitch to one that goes eight or nine deep, and it's starting to look like that's what they've got.
When Vastine's your nine-hole guy, I think you're in pretty good shape. Yeah. Vastine had a really solid start as well, hitting 318, I think five doubles. So, again, the doubles, I think, are something that really stand out. I like that you brought that up. It's just like a lot of guys who are going to get on base, who are going to wreak some havoc. Can they have a lot of base runners that are guys who will be effective? They don't have a Bradfield, but they have Humphrey. They have Hewitt. Vastine can steal some bases. Just feels like they're a lot more well-rounded as a lineup than they have been at times in the past. But I don't know that they have that star power. Diaz is actually the guy who's been one of their least effective hitters, and I thought that was the guy that we really had touted as a breakout guy. He had a big one on Friday, which I think he needed, to center field, a deep double. So he's starting to get going a little bit. I think Espinal has been really, really good down the stretch, and I think he's maybe even been better than we had expected. Having Bulger out hurts, and Maldonado's been out for a while too, but they're just kind of finding ways to piece that lineup together. And I think we talked about that in the preseason, that they would have more depth, and you've kind of seen that with the lineup, and you've seen what we talked about, not as much power, but they're still finding ways to get it done offensively. The pitching, I don't know if it's been as great as we would have thought originally, but there are some guys who have done a really nice job. Cyber's done a good job. Ginther, outside of the opening weekend, has done a nice job. And then Miller Green, I think, showed some real poise on Friday afternoon as he closed that game out with the bases loaded, and he came into a really bad spot and found a way to get out of it as a freshman. So you're seeing some poise out of this team. And again, you're seeing them win in different ways, which I think is really effective.
Yeah. Of the regulars, guys that are under 400 on base, one's Vastine. He's 392, but he's slugging 614, which leads the team. And then you've got Davis Diaz at 373, who's maybe their most skilled hitter in some ways, but he's also walked seven times, struck out five. Now, the thing with Diaz last couple of years is a lot of times he's made contact. It's not been super hard contact. And so that's maybe a little bit of an issue, but he did swing the bat better over the weekend. It's hard to find a lot of big flaws. I mean, I guess if you want to say that you got some swing and miss with Vastine, with Espinal, with Leneve, those guys have all struck out 13 or 14 times each. But and nobody in the lineup with more than two home runs. But again, I point to balance. And oh, by the way, this team has stolen 29 bases and 33 tries.
Right. I think the thing I look at is what you said before. They're just hard to get out. There's not a whole lot of guys who get out super easily. And that's evidenced by the average. It's evidenced by the OPS. It's not Georgia where you got the superstar in the middle of the lineup and the rest of the guys aren't quite as difficult to get out. It's a team where up and down the lineup, it's young guys, it's old guys, all doing things that I think you're pretty scared of if you're an opposing pitcher. And I think their defense isn't great, but I think they have a lot of guys who are capable, and I think their defense will get better as the year goes on. I don't have the exact error numbers in front of me. I don't know if you do, but it feels like they're going to improve as the season goes on.
Yeah, they've made seven errors. They're fielding 984. I don't remember really a meltdown at any point since that one inning of the Game 3 of the Gonzaga series. Do you?
It wasn't that Game 2?
It was the Sunday game, I think.
Was it? But yeah, I don't remember any, and it was just that one inning of that game. It wasn't anything.
Yeah,
super.
Yeah, it was a couple balls that they could have made plays on, and then a couple of errors, and then it compounded into eight runs, and they lost the game.
Right. So it feels like they've got a chance to be a better defensive team. I think especially now they have a better defensive outfield with Bulger out, and obviously that in the lineup, but a Hewitt, Leneve, Austin-ish, Humphrey defensive outfield, I think, is better, and I think you're going to see improved defense out of them moving forward. A Corbin team generally probably won't struggle with defense for the entire year, I would guess, right?
No, it won't. And you've got some pieces out there. I think that, you know, I didn't realize Leneve. I mean, he legged out a triple the other day. I don't think of him as a burner, but
that was a big one.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little more speed than I thought. I don't think he's going to win a Gold Glove out there, but I do think that an Austin Humphrey Hewitt outfield's a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. Now, how often those three guys are all out there at the same time, I have no idea. I think you could see some lefty-righty platoons. I think you could see a situation where you see Humphrey or Hewitt maybe start the game on the bench and then come in the seventh when there's a three-run lead and whoever they just subbed in for just hit or something like that. I mean, I think there's a lot of combinations with what they could do here.
Yeah, Chris, I've been a big advocate for Hewitt to play more, and I think he's had a really, really nice start to the year. Humphrey as well, I think, has been really good when he's been given an opportunity. Corbin talked about that he thought he was a guy who was going to play more kind of in the first place. Now that Bulger's out, he has a real opportunity. I think it's going to be kind of a true rotation, especially until Bulger gets back with those guys. Yeah. I think those guys, like you said, could probably slide into the role that Hewitt had last year to where if they're not playing on a day-to-day basis, they'll be in the game at some point as a defensive replacement or as a runner. But I think you got to have a real strong case for Calvin Hewitt at this point of the year. He swung it really well, and obviously he does a lot of things for them that they wanted late in the innings last year. They wanted the running. They wanted the defense, and he's a vet. So I think that's a guy that you got to play more, and I think you'll probably see that from him moving forward. He even told us that he thinks he could have it more of an expanded offensive role this year than he's had in years past. So that's a guy I look to maybe even take another step to, from where he's at right now.
Well, you can also argue, too, that they've got, you know, maybe two of their top three power sources on the bench right now. Holcomb with just not earning playing time, I guess, is a good way to put it, among other things. And then the other one would be Maldonado. And do we know what the injury is yet with him?
I think we vaguely do, but I don't think he's out forever. I think it's just he was doubtful for this weekend, right?
So that means was it an oblique or something like that, or what is it?
His shoulder.
Shoulder, okay. Yeah.
And they had him day-to-day as of February 24th.
Was it that long ago when we got our last update?
I guess so. But
wow.
He did say this weekend that – or he did say earlier this week that he probably wouldn't play this weekend.
Okay, so, I mean, the 24th was two Saturdays ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not forever, I guess.
Right.
Or whatever day that was. I'm looking at the March calendar. Anyway, I mean, it's been a few days, I guess, is what I'm getting at, a week and a half. But, yeah, I mean, and you have to wonder if that was really holding Maldonado back a little bit. He'd only had, what, two hits and 13 at-bats. None of them were for extra bases. So there's that too. But any other thoughts on the offense before we hit the pitching?
I think Humphrey and Hewitt are kind of the guys that are going to make it go to an extent. You kind of know what you have with a lot of the other guys, but if those guys can be guys who step up over the next couple of weeks while Bulger's out, they could be a really, really good offense. And Kojal, I think, again, we haven't talked about enough. He had a tremendous week, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think even when people were down on him, you could see that kid was going to be a hitter.
He's still putting together good at-bats pretty much every time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right, he might be the guy that leads his team in average at the end of the year. He's leading it right now.
Yeah, it's him and Bulger, and Bulger's played, what, five less games? Kojal, yeah. Again, even if he's not making hard contact for a game, he's still putting together a tough at-bat. He's still a tough out, dang near every time up, and really interesting to see that from a freshman.
Yeah. The pitching... Let's start with the bad. We're sitting here looking at the starting rotation. Futrell's got a 6.23 ERA. Holton's got a 6.92. Futrell's had two good starts and one disastrous one where the ball was really getting out in Houston. And that's just part of who he is. He's a fly ball pitcher, and sometimes you face a team that can hit him out, and Texas can, and that's what happens at the worst. Holton's ERA is 6.92. Literally, he could have a sub-2 ERA with a break or two. And if you watch him pitch, you know you know what I mean. Like he has had the worst luck imaginable. I'm looking at this. He has allowed 14 base runners. No, 13 base runners. No, 14. Excuse me, I can't count. 14 base runners in 13 innings. 10 of them scored. All 10 of them have been earned. That's hard to do.
Chris,
no home runs, no triples, three doubles.
Didn't he have that three or four run inning Friday and one ball got out of the infield the entire inning? Like,
yeah, I think three infield singles and, you know, and a reverse call at first and all kinds of stuff going on there.
What about that call at second in that same game with Leniv?
I didn't see it. I was listening in the car. I had to run a quick errand, and Andrew Allegretta was not happy about it. So
Tim Corbin wasn't happy either. Neither was Troy Leniv.
That's what I hear. Apparently, it was a letter of the law kind of call, and not a. And I didn't see it, so I can't comment beyond that. But
yeah, I thought it was a letter of the law type call. I get why they made it, but I don't know that I would have made it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm not worried at all about Carter Holton. You know, probably lost at everything this weekend, because I think everybody's head is in the Texas comeback and them going 3-0. Bryce Cunningham was tremendous. Mm-hmm. I just kept thinking when I watched him the first two starts, I just don't think he's a starting pitcher. You know, the control hadn't gotten a lot better. He looked tremendous. He looked as good as anybody's looked for them all year in that Houston game Saturday.
Everybody's been waiting to get him out of the rotation. He just keeps finding ways to get enough outs to stay in it. And I think that was probably his best outing of the year. 5.2, 4 hits, 1 run, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks, 62 strikes on 92 pitches. I think he has good stuff. It's just that it falls off after the second or third inning. It's just whether he can he put together a full season to be a starter? I think Dukanich is really pushing him, but we'll see. I think Cunningham, again, a guy who has done enough to stay in the rotation, at least for now, but they have a lot of talent behind him. So I think the margin for error for him is pretty small, although it may be smaller within the fan base than it is for Tim Corbin. And that's kind of where I see it for now.
Yeah, I think this is where I think they're going. And I get it a little bit more now. I think what they're going to do is Holton will start and Grayson Carter will finish his games, and they'll try to get nine innings between those two guys. And it makes sense, right? Holton's a lefty and Carter's a righty. So you've got to do some wholetail substitutions if you want to go platoon advantage, and it's worked. So there's that. I think Saturdays, I don't know what that's going to look like ultimately. Cunningham certainly is going to get another shot the way he pitched. I still would like to know when David Horn is going to return. I'm guessing it's going to be Cunningham and then piece it together with a couple guys like they did. And then I think if you notice on Sunday, they went Futrell, softer tossing lefty, Dukanich, harder throwing right-hander. Again, if you set your lineup based on the fact that you're starting a lefty, you bring a righty in who looks a lot different. That's a change of pace. I'm just guessing it's going to look something like that. And then you got Ethan McElvain and Brendan Cyber and whoever else out there just waiting for the other innings.
Yeah, even Saturday, Cunningham, righty, McElvain, lefty. So I don't think the stuff is all that different between the two, but obviously a different look.
Yeah,
with Grayson Carter on Friday as well. Got the win, gave up 1 run in 3 innings, but found the zone a little bit more than he has in the past. I thought he was pretty good on Friday as well.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing in the weekend was Cunningham was consistently locating the strike on the corners at the knees. Mm-hmm. And if he can do that, he's going to be pretty tough.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like he had all three pitches working. And another thing, I guess selfishly, that would help him is Dukanich wasn't all that great on Sunday either. Gave up 4 runs in the innings. So I think Cunningham's at least bought himself a few more weekends, I would guess, at this point. But
I would, Dukanich I would maybe think a guy too. Late in the
year. Yeah.
It seemed like they went after hitters a little bit more this weekend. It wasn't all the bounce breaking balls up there and, get up 1-2 and try to throw 3 balls off the corner and hope somebody chases. It felt like they pitched a little bit more to, okay, we might let you hit 1 or 2, but that's fine. And I just like that approach better.
Look at Miller Green. I mean, he went into that game late and really didn't seem afraid of anything.
Yeah,
he didn't throw all that many strikes, 12 and 20, but I think that's a number that you kind of want to sit at. And for a freshman in a high leverage spot, I don't think you can ask for much more aggression than he showed. And, man, his confidence really shined through as he got out of there.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how they handle it with the bullpen. I think J.D. Thompson seems locked in as their midweek guy. I don't know why you'd mess with that at this point.
I think really good.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to trust Kranzler. Why not? Cyber's really good strike thrower again. And I think maybe the other biggest, other than Cunningham, maybe the other biggest thing out of the week was they got two pretty good outings out of Sawyer Hawks, who just, you know, the first two that he threw were awful. And you're like, man, that could really wreck that kid's confidence. He's come back. And was it the, I think it was the Evansville game he pitched in, wasn't it?
I know he pitched, what was it? He pitched yesterday. I don't know what the midweek was.
Right. I think he pitched the Evansville game, which, why does that matter? It's a little bit more meaningful because that game was a little bit more touch and go. Whether it's Indiana State, they just ran away with that one.
It wasn't
from the beginning.
Sure. I was at Indiana State.
Yeah, yeah. So it was Evansville. The game was a little bit more in the balance, and I thought, boy, that's a real spot to bring him in. Because you know, one bad inning, you lose the game, and then but you know, it worked fine. And then I thought he was really good against a Texas team that was just clobbering the ball yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's, again, what we talk about with Tim Corbin kind of messing with stuff early and just trying to put guys in spots to see what he has. It's that. Like, that's what Sawyer Hawks was this week. Because I think he trusts him as an older guy. He's kind of always sung the tune of he's a better pitcher than he had shown for the first two outings. I think he always kind of believed in him. So he's going to keep giving him those spots. And he gave McIlvain some tough spots earlier in the year, gave him a tough spot this weekend. And he's starting to kind of see the dividends there. Ginther, again, has been a lot better than he was early in the year, too. So for as bad as the bullpen was early, I think you're maybe starting to see a little bit better production. I want to see 2 weeks of it before I really make a declaration there, but much better week for the bullpen as a whole.
All right, let's get to the mailbag if you're ready.
Let's do it.
Mailbag is presented by Sutherland and Belk, a family-owned injury law firm. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, give Taylor or Russell a call, 615-846-6200. See what your rights are and if they can help. Joey's on the guest line. That is presented by John Levin and the Maynard Nexus Government Contracts Group. They advise government contractors on all aspects of their needs with a proud focus on matching legal solutions to business needs. B3 Vandy. This is going to be a very interesting year for Vandy baseball. Nice to see all the positional battles taking place with everyone pushing everyone to be better. However, development of our starting pitching and bullpen is where it gets captivating. We sit here at 10-3. We're starting to see some gems rise to the surface. Futrell, Holt, and Cunningham have been hot and cold, but overall solid. Dukanich, McIlvain, Thompson, Carter have shown talent. The pitchers are surprising most. Their talents have been Cyber and Green. By the middle of the season, which three pitchers are really going to be standing out? I think it's more than three. How would you answer that?
Futrell and Holton, that obviously would be my two. I would guess that law of averages there would help out Holton. And then Futrell, probably not going to have too many innings like or too many games like that on Sunday. I think he has enough of a track record where you don't panic yet. Dukanich, I really want to say Dukanich for three, but I just haven't seen the consistency out of him to be able to believe that. He had a great start in the midweek, and then Sunday wasn't all that great. Thompson, I think, has probably been their most consistent starter to this point. Carter, I think, has been good. Cunningham has been good enough. But I just don't know, Chris. Like, do they have a third? I don't think they have a third on that level. Is there a third that emerges to be in that conversation, though?
I don't know. I just think it's a different conversation about the lineup and the pitching staff than we've ever had. I think Dukanich is the most talented guy on the staff.
Just me.
Now, what's it look like? I don't know. I thought it would look better yesterday than it did. Holton is more than fine. Is a Friday night guy if he's healthy. Can he hold up over the long haul? We'll see. Futrell, you've seen the good and bad. I think that the 6.23 ERA is misleading. He's going to be better than that. He's going to pound the zone, and you hope that he's pitching on days where the wind's not blowing out. Mm-hmm. I think they got plenty of guys in the bullpen. I mean, you could see McIlvain end up a starter. You know, we didn't talk about Ryan Ginther. There's another bullpen guy they got. I don't know. They got enough arms. It's going to be fine. Grayson Carter's looked tremendous since that opening day fiasco. To me, it's really not the who, it's the how many. And they got enough.
Yeah, and what does the three standing out look like? Is it three guys who are aces? I don't know. But if you're looking at kind of that next year, I think there's a whole lot of guys who can be really good but not quite Friday night type production.
I mean, if you're asking me who are the three most skilled pitchers on the staff, I'm going Holton, McIlvain, and do Canich. And that's leaving out the guy that's been hitting 103 and throwing strikes.
That says something about that staff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he did it on Friday. Does. He was really good on Friday. Besides that one run, I thought he was tremendous.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that they've got enough arms to sustain an injury or two here or there. And yeah, I don't know exactly who does what, but I'm confident the staff is going to be really good.
Chris, we're so good at dancing around questions, but doing it.
I don't know how to answer that one. I don't like to dance around questions. I just don't know. I said before the season, I'd never covered a team like this.
Right.
We're 3 weeks in, and I would still say the same thing. Now, I will tell you this. I think I feel better about this team 13 games in than I did coming in. I thought it was a good team. I feel like now I've got more reasons to believe that it's a good team. Mm-hmm. But the toughest games are all to come.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really hard prediction to make at this point of the year. Just seeing some of the inconsistency that they've had. I think Carter's been good, but obviously had the opening day fiasco with the windup and all that. Dukanich has been on and off, generally on, but tough day yesterday. Holton, again, I think has been better than the numbers have shown. Same with Futrell, but it's just hard for me to kind of pinpoint three and be like, these guys are a tier above everybody else, because I think those tiers are kind of getting blurred a little bit.
Yeah. Freitas Boss had a question about the lineup. So I would say, okay, you know who your catcher is. It's Espinal. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, we've not seen anybody else catch other than Bolger. And now Bolger's out for a while. I don't know if we see Poteet in a midweek game. I'm not sure Poteet's had an at bat yet, has he?
I think he did the third game of Gonzaga.
Okay, yeah, he's had one at bat, and he drew a walk. So we know who the main catcher is. I still think first base is probably Maldonado. Could be Holcomb. I just don't see RJ Austin being their first baseman to end the season, but I could be wrong. Tim has done some weird things at first.
I agree. I think Maldonado, that'll be his spot when he gets back. And if it's not immediately when he gets back, it'll be a couple weeks after he gets back.
Jaden Davis has started every game in the at second. I don't know why that would change. And that's been another pleasant surprise. He's fielded his position pretty well.
Yeah, him and Corbin talked to us after one game about how they really thought he had improved defensively. And I think we were a little surprised to see him starting the opening day game at second rather than Kojal, because I think we had projected Kojal as the opening day second baseman. But there's been no reason to move him off of that spot. He's hit pretty well. Corbin seems to really like his approach and what he is as a player. And if his defense has improved, then why move him?
Yeah. And again, somebody told me the week that they were starting, he said, I think Davis is going to be their guy. And he was, and they've not flipped him since. So, let me think. I think we know who third and short are. That's Diaz and Vastine respectively.
Diaz has got a lot of margin for error to figure it out. Like he's not on the hot seat at all at third base, I don't think.
No. Outfield. Has Lanive not started a game yet? Okay. Lanive has started 12 of 13. Mm-hmm. So it feels like he's one of the guys.
Yeah. I mean, the strikeouts have been a little concerning. I think he's tied for the team lead in strikeouts, but otherwise, I think he's been fine. I think he'll continue to take a leap, and he started to hit the ball better as the weather's gotten warmer over the years too.
If Maldonado's the first baseman, then Austin's your center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves you Humphrey, Hewitt,
Polk.
And I'm trying to remember, I need to find my notes. I think I was told Kojal could play some outfield too.
Yeah, I never saw it, though. I don't know if you've ever seen him play out there. But he's.
I haven't seen it, but...
Yeah, I've always seen him at second or third.
I think you'll see a platoon situation with, you know, like Jacob Humphrey's sick. Okay, that means Polk gets a start. And it's just whatever. If you got a particularly tough lefty you know, you may see a guy that doesn't play for five games, get a show up and get a random start on a Saturday or Sunday. I think it's going to be that kind of thing where they will mix and match. I think late in the game, they might go heavy pinch hitting with all the options they've got. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to go with who ends up leading them in plate appearances out of the outfield, I would go Austin. I would go Lanive and then probably Hewitt.
Yeah, I would say the same.
Yeah.
Like you said, though, to your point about a guy coming out of nowhere and making an impact, Polk on Saturday, I think, kind of embodies that. He hadn't played really at all. That might have been his first start of the year. He was the difference in that game. Had the homer, had two RBIs, and they won 3-1. So, again, Corbin looks smart for making that adjustment. I think if he can play the right matchups in the outfield, he'll be just fine because I think he has enough options and they're all capable. You saw Humphrey's capable. Hewitt's had a lot of really good games, and he does a lot of little things that really help them as well. And then Polk obviously did a nice job on Saturday and wasn't quite as good on Sunday, but that's a guy that I think he trusts a good bit, even though he hasn't been playing a whole lot. He's been in that program for a long time.
The interesting thing, too, is to be if Bulger gets back, then what do they do? Because you know Tim's going to want to throw him out there. Fourth-year senior was hitting leadoff, was not pretty much never came out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. But if these other guys hit, too, then what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, that's his guy.
You know, let's say it's late, you know, mid-April, and they're on a heater. They're in contention for first place. You got more guys than you got room for. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think Corbin will probably try to find a spot for him, right? He's an older guy who does all the right things. I don't think he was playing as poorly as some people would tell you he was. I mean, he was hitting 367 and had two homers, didn't have that many extra base hits, but I thought he did a fine enough job in the leadoff spot, better than people would insinuate. Now, is he their best defensive left fielder? Probably not, but I think there's a place for him somewhere, right?
Yeah. I mean, you would think, I think the guys that aren't coming out, Austin's going to be in there somewhere every day. Diaz and Vastine are going to be there every day, second and third. Mm-hmm. Espinal's going to be in there pretty much every day. You know, you might give him a day off for rest because he's a catcher and he's played a lot already. Mm-hmm. I think Davis at this point is an everyday guy. Yep. 13 games, 13 starts. And then from there, who knows?
I would think that Maldonado probably would be once he gets back, as long as that first week or so was an outlier, which I have no reason to believe it wasn't. I would think that he'll be in there pretty much every day as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, but who knows? What if they get him in there? He's not 100%. The injury nags. You know, guys try to play through stuff. Sometimes that's always not the smartest thing. If I'm Tim Corbin, I'm really urging my guys, hey, let's get better. Don't try this play through pain and injury thing because we got other guys.
Yeah, I think that's totally the approach with this team. My question for you, back to Kojal, how close is he to being an everyday guy? Because he started 11 out of 13 games and he's produced. Do we think that there's...
Oh, he's there. He's there. I think so too. I mean, they stuck through him even when the slump happened to start the first week and a half, and even when Bulger was a factor.
Yeah, I
he
mean,
was
I
still roll it out there.
Yeah, yeah. And how much have you seen a freshman be in that spot under Corbin? Probably not that much this early in the season, right?
I mean, Austin Martin was. I feel like Brian Reynolds was. Tony Kemp was. And look, you're talking about, you know, first-round draft pick type guys there.
Yeah, right. Austin had a pretty long leash last year as well, if I remember right, didn't he?
Yeah, I feel like Austin started every game but one or two. He had a slump there, too,
and they still kind of stuck by him.
Yeah, Austin's an energy guy, and he likes his energy guys. And I don't mean that in any bad way. I mean, it works. That's an interesting one too. It's not really RJ Austin. It's the RJ Austin experience.
Right.
We had the double where he trips and has to almost crawl into second. You had the little thing he pulled in the batter's box. You got the 13 base stealing attempt so far. I mean, he is really this is another thing that stuck out. I'm glad you brought that up because I feel like in the past couple of years, like you look at them, you look at Tennessee, and that is a rolling machine where they got the bus taking curves at 90 miles an hour and they're throwing stuff out the windows. I'm not saying play like that, but there's been a little bit of an edge that they've lacked.
Mm-hmm. And they have it this year. They have a whole
lot. Yeah, and Austin's part of it, and you saw it with Espinal after the game. I think a little bit of that is good for them. I think that they have been maybe bullied a little bit at times by the Tennessees and the Floridas and the LSUs, and I think having a little bit of swagger this year might serve them pretty well.
That's coming straight from their leaders, too. It's not like completely out-of-body experiences. Espinal is one of their leaders. Austin's one of their leaders. And then it's trickling down to, like, McIlvain, you see, is pumped after he gets a strikeout. I think that is good for them. Like,
yeah,
in the modern era, I think you need a few guys like that. It's almost like the streaky shooter in basketball who is fired up and talking the whole game. Like, Miles Studi last year, Justine Passant for the women's team. Like, you need a guy like that. Every special team has somebody like that who's the most confident guy on the field. And I think they have a lot of guys like that this year.
Yeah. I think they got two in particular. And everybody's not that guy, but I just think that those guys are spark plugged. You know, Espinal, I guess, been hearing it and gave it back after the game. And I'm not a big fan of that, but hey, if you're somebody's dishing it out all game and you want to give it back after you've won, then hey, you know, maybe that's a little bit of what this team needs. Sometimes I felt like this team lacked a little bit of that.
Especially last year when they played Tennessee. That's when you really felt.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they got bullied by Tennessee the last 2 years in those series.
Do you remember Parker Nolan at Tennessee last year? You know, he's a like Knoxville guy. There was people from there and they were just yelling at him the whole game and nothing out of him. They exposed him. They said that he doesn't like salt on his fries. And I think that's where it really
came unraveled.
Yeah, I think that's when the series ended, essentially.
Right, right. Well, let's end the show. I've got to take care of some things. Any parting thoughts on the baseball team we didn't get to?
No, I think I'm just interested to see if they can put together another week where some of the themes we saw this week are a little more consistent because they sputtered a little bit early, but I generally think they're trending in the right direction. I don't think they're going to go 5-0 every week, but I think that's closer to who this team is than the team that lost to FAU or team that, well, they dropped a game to Gonzaga and they dropped a midweek to Dayton as well. I think the team we saw this week is probably a little closer to what they actually are in reality.
Yeah, I think this is a good team. I'm not sure how good it is compared to the rest of the league because I think the league is loaded.
Yeah.
And you just don't, you know, I'm a little worried they don't hit enough long balls. I would have liked their pitching to be a little less shaky than it's been at times, but I think they got plenty of parts, man. Like if we're 3 months from now having this conversation, and they're a national seed again, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I think the league is really good. Like there's a lot
I do too.
That I don't think it's a shame to lose 2 out of 3-2, but they should pile up some more this week, and I think that's going to help them. They should probably get 4, maybe they'll get 3, but I would guess they'll have a good week again, right?
And I feel like this league has got 9 regional caliber teams pretty easily. I think maybe 2 more in Georgia and Kentucky, and who knows, maybe 2 more in Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Right. I don't think those teams are bad. Missouri is awful. And Missouri's on the schedule too, by the way. So
they are.
Yeah, third week of the regular season.
Yeah, I think this week gives us maybe not an idea of what they are, but I think of some trends that may continue versus what trends don't continue and kind of a dose of what reality actually looks like. But
it's
small sample size.
Go ahead. And you actually have an interesting midweek game next week with Indiana, which was ranked until it played whoever it played this week. So
right. So we'll see. I'm kind of in wait and see mode a little bit still, but a lot of the stuff that we thought in the preseason, I think we saw this week, and I'm going to guess we're going to continue to see moving forward.
Yeah. Well, I got my son texting me. He's awaiting batting practice outside. So we're going to go do that.
Chris, you need to throw me a BP one day.
SEC. Yeah, we'll work on that. I'm just going to tee him up. So I'm not even throwing BP. So
can we get a one-on-one game?
I know he'd be willing.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. You know how that kid's wired. You've seen it. So
yeah, I have.
All right. Well, hey, Joey, thanks for joining me. Looking forward to talking more Vandy baseball in the near future.
Yes, sir. Good to see you.
All right. He is Joey Dwyer. I'm Chris Lee. This is the Vandy Sports Podcast. We thank our sponsors, Anchor Impact, The Wash House, Murfreesboro Pure Milk Studio, Sutherland & Belk, John Levin, and the Maynard Nexus Group. Thanks for watching. Leave us a thumbs up, a nice review, whatever. Take care. We'll see you again soon.